pit warders had done their work well, and magic flared to keep the demons at bay. As they struck the wards, the Dalsharim thrust their spears. Jardir looked to Drillmaster Kaval coming out of the circle after killing a demon of his own. His red night veil was raised, the first time Jardir had ever seen it so. He caught the Drillmaster's eye, and when the man nodded, Jardir approached, bowing deeply.
Drillmaster, this is not Alagai Sharak as we were taught it.
Oh, this is not Alagai Sharak at all, boy. Just a game to keep our spears sharp. The Avisa commands that Alagai Sharak only be fought on prepared ground. There are no demon pits here, no maze walls or ambush pockets. We would be fools to leave our circle, but that is no reason why we cannot show a few Alagai the sun.
Thank you, Drillmaster. I understand now.
The game went on for hours more, until the remaining demons decided there was no gap in the wards and began to circle the camp or sat back on their haunches out of spears' reach, watching. After all had eaten, half the warriors went to their bedrolls, and the other half stood like statues in a ring around the camp. After a few hours' sleep, the warriors relieved their brothers. The next day, they passed through a Kafit village. Jardir had never seen one before, though there were many small oases in the desert, mostly to the south and east of the city, where a trickle of water sprouted from the ground and filled a small pool. Kafit, who had fled the city, would often cluster at these, but so long as they fed themselves and did not beg at the city wall or prey on passing merchants, the Dama were content to ignore them. There were larger oases as well, where a large pool meant 100 or more Kafit might gather, often with women and children in tow. These the Dama did pay some mind to, with the warrior tribes claiming the individual oases as they did the wells of the city, taxing the Kafit in labor and goods for the right to live there. Dama would occasionally travel to the villages closest to the city, taking any young boys to Hanupash and the most beautiful girls as Jiwa Sharam for the great harems. The village they passed through had no wall, just a series of sandstone monoliths around its perimeter, with ancient wards cut deep into the stone.
What is this place? They call the village Sandstone. Over 300 Kafit live here. They are known as pit dogs.
Pit dogs.
Aban pointed to a giant pit in the ground, one of several in the village, where men and women toiled together, harvesting sandstone with shovel, pick, and saw. The folk were broad of shoulder and packed with muscle, quite unlike the Kafit Jardir knew from the city. Children worked alongside them, loading carts and leading the camels that hauled the stone up out of the pits. All wore tan clothes, man and boy alike, in vest and cap, and the women and girls in tan dresses that left little to the imagination, their faces, arms, and even legs mostly uncovered.
These are strong people. By what rule are these men Kafit? Are they all cowards? What about the boys and girls? Why are they not called to marriage or Hanupash?
Their ancestors were Kafit by their own failing, perhaps, my friend. But these people are Kafit by birth.
I don't understand. There are no Kafit by birth.
You say all I think of is merchanting, but perhaps it is you who does not think of it enough. The Damaji want the stone these people harvest, and a healthy stock to do the work. In exchange, they instruct the Dama not to come for the Kafit's children.
Condemning the children to spending their lives as Kafit as well. Why would their parents want that?
Parents can behave strangely when men come to take their children.
Still, these men would make fine warriors, and their women fine wives who breed strong sons. It is a waste to see them squandered so.
At least, when one of them is injured, his brothers don't turn on him like a pack of wolves.
It was another 6 days of travel before they reached the cliff face overlooking the river that fed the village of Bahakad Evaram. They encountered no more Kafit villages along the way. Aban, whose family traded with many of the villages, said it was because an underground river fed many oases near the city, but it did not stretch so far east. Most of the villages were south of the city, between the Desert Spear and the distant southern mountains, along the path of that river. Jardir had never heard of a river underground, but he trusted his friend. The river before them was not precisely underground, but it had eroded a deep valley over time, cutting through countless layers of sandstone and clay. They could see its bed far below, though the water seemed only a trickle from such a height. They marched south along the cliff, until the path leading down to the village came into sight, invisible until they were almost on top of it. The Dalsharim blew horns of greeting, but there was no response as they made their way down the steep, narrow road to the village square. Even there, in the center of town, there were no inhabitants to be found. The village of Bahakad Avaram was built in tiers cut into the cliff face. A wide, uneven stair led up in zigzag, forming a terrace for the adobe buildings on each level. There were no signs of life in the village. It reminded Jardir of some of the older parts of the Desert Spear. Large parts of the city were abandoned as the population dwindled. The ancient buildings were a testament to when creations were numberless.
What happened here?
Isn't it obvious? Stop staring at the village and take a wider look.
Jardir turned and saw that the river had not appeared to be a trickle merely because of a trick of height. The waters hardly reached a third of the way up the deep bed.
Not enough rain, or a diversion of the water's path upriver. The change likely robbed the Bahavans of the fish they depended on to survive.
That wouldn't explain the death of a whole village.
Perhaps the water turned sour as it shallowed, picking up silt from the riverbed. Either way, by sickness or hunger, the Bahavans must not have been able to maintain their wards.
Aban gestured to the deep claw marks in the adobe walls of some of the buildings. Kaval turned to Jardir.
Search the village for signs of survivors.
Jardir bowed and turned to his Nisharam, breaking them into groups of two and sending each to a different level. The boys darted up the uneven stairs as easily as they ran the wall tops of the maze. It quickly became apparent that Aban had been right. There were signs of demons in almost every building, claw marks on walls and furniture, and signs of struggle everywhere.
No bodies, though,
eaten.
Jardir pointed to what appeared to be black stone with a few bits of white sticking from it, sitting on the floor.
What's that?
Demon dung. Alagai eat their victims whole and shit out the bones.
They reported their findings to Drillmaster Kaval, who nodded as if this were no surprise.
Walk at my back, Nika.
Jardir followed him as the Drillmaster walked over to where Damakavat stood with the Kai Sharam.
The Nisharam confirmed there are no survivors, Dama.
The Kai Sharam outranked him, but Kaval was a Drillmaster and had likely trained every warrior on the expedition, including the Kai Sharam.
The Alagai cursed the ground when they broke through the wards, trapping the spirits of the dead Kafit in this world. I can feel their screams in the air. A waning is upon us. We will spend the first 2 days and nights preparing the village and praying.
And on the third night of waning?
On the third night, we will dance Alagai Sharak to hallow the ground and set their spirits free, that they might be reincarnated in hope of a better cast.
Of course, Dama. It will be mostly clay demons here, though likely a few wind and sand as well.
Kaval turned to the Kai Sharam.
With your permission, I will have the Dalsharam dig warded demon pits in the courtyard and set ambush points on the stairs to drive the Alagai off the cliff and into the pits to await the sun.
The Kai Sharam nodded and the Drillmaster turned to Jardir.
Set the Nisharam to clearing the buildings of any debris we can make into barricades. See that they loot nothing. All must go as sacrifice to Alagai Sharak.
You and I will clear the first level.
Seven is a luckier number. Let Joram and Shanjat clear the first.
Jardir looked at Aban's legs skeptically. Aban had managed to keep up with the march, but his limp had not gone away, and Jardir often saw him massaging the limp when he thought no one was watching.
I thought the first would be an easier ascent, with your leg not fully healed.
My friend, you wound me. I am as fit as the finest camel in the bazaar. You were right to push me to exceed myself each day, and a climb to the seventh level will only help.
As you wish.
The irregular stone steps of Baha were cut into the cliff face, shored at key points with sandstone and clay. They were sometimes as narrow as a man's foot, and other times required many paces to the next step. Worn stone showed the passage of many laden wagons pulled by beasts of burden. The steps changed direction with each tier, branching off a path to the buildings of that level. They had not gone far before Aban's round face beaded with sweat.
Perhaps we've gone far enough for one day.
Oh, nonsense, my friend. I am Strong as a camel.
We'll make a warrior of you yet.
They reached the seventh level at last, as Jardir turned to look out over the low wall. Far below, the Dalsharim bent their backs, digging wide demon pits with short spades. The pits were set right at the edge of the first tier, so that a demon hurled from the very wall Jardir looked over would land within. Jardir felt a flash of excitement for the battle to come, even though he and the other Nisharim would not be allowed to fight. He turned to Abin, but his friend had moved on down the terrace, ignoring the view.
We should start clearing the buildings.
Abin seemed not to hear, limping purposefully away. Jardir caught up just as Abin stopped in front of a great archway, breaking into a wide smile as he looked up at the symbols carved into the arch.
Level 7! I knew it! The same as the number of pillars between heaven and Allah.
I've never seen wards like those.
Those aren't wards. They are drawn words.
Like those written in the Yavija.
They read, "Here, 7 tears from Allah to honor he who is everything is the humble workshop of Master Dravazi."
The potter you spoke of.
Abba nodded, moving to push back the bright curtain that hung in the doorway, but Jardir grabbed his arm, pulling Abba to face him.
So you can embrace pain when it comes to profit, but not to honor.
I am merely practical, my friend. You cannot spend honor.
You can in heaven.
We cannot clothe our mothers and sisters from heaven.
Abin pulled his arm free and entered the shop. Jardir had no choice but to follow, walking right into Abin, who had stopped just short within the doorway, his mouth hanging open.
The shipment is intact.
Jardir followed his gaze, and his own eyes widened as well. There, stacked neatly upon great pallets, was the most exquisite pottery he had ever seen. It filled the room, pots and vases and chalices, lamps and plates and bowls, all of it painted in bright color and gold leaf, fire glazed to a pristine shine.
Do you have any idea what this is worth, my friend?
It doesn't matter. It isn't ours.
It isn't stealing if the owners are dead, Amon.
It is worse than stealing, to loot from the dead. It is desecration.
Desecration would be casting a master artisan's life's work into a rubbish pile. There is plenty of other debris to use in the barricades.
Very well. We will leave it here. Let it tell the story of the craft of this greatest of Kafit, that Evaram may look down upon his works and reincarnate his spirit to a higher caste.
What need to tell tales to Evaram if he is all-knowing?
I will not hear Evaram blasphemed, not even from you.
No blasphemy intended. I merely meant Evaram could see the pottery as well in a Demarji's palace as in this forgotten workshop.
That may be, but Kaval said everything must be sacrificed to Alagai Sharak, and that means this too.
Of course, my friend. But if we are truly to honor this great Kafit and recommend him to heaven, let us use his fine pots to carry dirt for the Dalsharim digging the demon pits. It will put the pottery to work in fighting Alagai Sharak and show Dravazi's worth to Evaram.
That is a fine idea.
They selected the pieces most suited to the task and carried them back to the camp. The rest they left neatly stacked, just as they had found them. Jardir and the others fell into their work, and the 2 full days and nights passed quickly as the battlefield for Alagai Sharak began to form. Each night they took shelter behind their circles, studying the demons and laying their plans. The terraced tiers of the village became a maze of debris piles, hiding warded alcoves the Dalsharim would use as ambush points, leaping out to drive the Alagai over the sides into the demon pits, or to net them long enough to trap them in portable circles. Supply depots were warded on every level. There, the Nisharim would wait, ready to run fresh spears or nets to the warriors.
Stay behind the wards until you are called for. And when you must cross them, do so quickly, heading directly from one warded area to the next until you reach your destination. Keep ducked low behind the wall, using every bit of cover.
Kaval made the boys memorize the makeshift maze until they could find the warded alcoves with their eyes closed if need be. Before long, Jardir and Abin were waiting in a supply depot on the 3rd level as the sun set. The cliff wall faced east, so they watched as the shadow reached out to envelop the river valley, creeping up the far cliff wall like an inky stain. and in the shadow of the valley, the Alagai began to rise. The mist seeped from the clay and sandstone, coalescing into demonic form. Jardir and Aben watched in fascination as the demons rose in the courtyard 30 feet below, illuminated by the great bonfires as the Dal Sharam put everything flammable in Bahar to the torch. For the first time, Jardir truly understood what the Dhamma had been telling them all these years. The Alagai were abominations, hidden from Everim's light. All of Allah would be the Creator's paradise if not for their foul taint. He was filled with loathing to the core of his being and knew he would give his life gladly for their destruction. He gripped one of the spare spears in the alcove, imagining the day he might hunt them with his Dal Sharam brothers. Aben gripped Jardir's arm, and he could see his friend point a shaking hand at the terrace wall just a few feet away. All along the terrace, the mists were rising, and there on the wall, a wind demon was forming. It crouched, wings folded as it solidified. Neither boy had ever been so close to a demon, and while the sight filled Aben with obvious terror, Jardir felt only rage. He gripped the spear tighter and wondered if he could charge the creature, knocking it from the wall before it was fully formed and dropping it into one of the demon pits below.
Don't be a fool!
Jardir looked back to the demon, but the choice was taken from him in that moment as the Alagai loosed its talons from their grip on the sandstone wall and dropped away into the darkness. Not far off, an orange clay demon formed, barely distinguishable from the adobe wall it clung to. The demon was small and snub, no larger than a small dog, but a compact killer of bunched muscle, talon, and thick overlapping armor plates. It lifted its blunt head, sniffing the air. Kaval had taught that the head of a clay demon could smash through almost anything, shattering stone and denting fine steel. They witnessed its power firsthand as the demon charged them, smashing head first into the wards around their alcove. Jardir took his spear and thrust it at the demon's maw, but the demon was too fast and caught the point in its jaws. The demon whipped its head aside, sending the spear spinning over the wall and into the darkness. A Sikh saw the exchange from his alcove further down the terrace. He was stationed as a baiter and would soon emerge to lead the demons to their doom.
Waste another spear, rat, and I'll throw you over the wall after it.
The Cravak watchers balanced atop their ladders could move from one level to the next in seconds. They surveyed the battlefield from above and gave signal to the Kai Sharam, who blew the horn of Sharak, beginning the dance. A Sikh immediately stepped from his alcove, cavorting about to draw the attention of the demons nearby.
Here! Here! Come, you foul demon beast! Here!
Several clay demons caught sight of him, leaping to give chase. A Sikh stood unafraid, letting them commit to the chase before taking off himself, running for the ambush point up ahead, past the first barrier. The clay demon on the wall by Jardir's alcove leapt at him as he went by. But Hasik twisted and brought up his shield, not only deflecting the attack, but also angling the shield so that the magic sent the demon hurling over the wall all the way down into the pits, the first kill of the night. Hasik sprinted into the maze of debris, dodging around the barriers with a speed and agility that belied his heavy frame. The call was a traditional one for baiters, signaling to the Dal Sharam at an ambush point that Alagai approached. The warriors fell upon the unsuspecting demons. Suddenly, a watcher, a day, popped up over the wall right in front of them.
Bring extra spears to the bush guard in the courtyard!
Jardir grabbed a pair of spears, and Aben did likewise, but Jardir could see the fear in his eyes.
Stay close to me and do as I do. This is no different from the drills we did all day.
Except that this is night!
But he followed as Jardir glanced both ways and darted for Hasik's cove, keeping crouched low behind the wall to avoid the notice of the wind demon circling high above the village. They made it to the alcove, and from there down the steps to the courtyard. Clay demons fell like rain from above as the Dal Sharam drove them over the terrace walls.
Boy, spear!
Jardir saw that the drillmaster's own spear was snapped in half as he faced a sand demon. Seemingly unhindered, Kaval spun the broken shaft so quickly it blurred, driving it into the demon's shoulder and hip joints. But while the drillmaster seemed to be in no danger from the demon before him, the inferior weapon was slowing him at a time he needed to finish the demon quickly.
Achoo!
Jardir threw a fresh spear. At the call, Kaval shoved the broken shaft down the demon's throat and caught the new one in a smooth turn that brought him right back in to attack with a new weapon. In moments, the sand demon fell shrieking into the pit.
Don't just stand there! Finish and get back to your post!
Jardir nodded and scurried off, he and Avan similarly supplying other warriors. When they were out of spears, they turned to head back up the steps. Jardir looked back to see an angry clay demon roll back to its feet and shake its head. It was far from a pushcart and spotted easier prey in Avan and Jardir.
The ambush pocket!
Jardir pointed to the small warded alcove where the pushcart had hidden until the demons began to fall from the sky. As the clay demon charged after them, the two boys broke for it. But just shy of the pocket's safety, Avan's leg collapsed under him. Jardir picked up speed, leaping to tackle Avan as he struggled to rise. He took the brunt of the impact himself, rolling them both over and turning the momentum into a perfect Sharasak throw that sent Avan's bulky frame tumbling the last few feet to safety. Jardir fell flat and remained prone when the move was completed. The demon, predictably, followed the motion and leapt at Avan, only to strike the wards in the pocket. Jardir got quickly to his feet as the clay demon shook off the shock of the wards, but the demon spotted him immediately, and worse, it stood between him and the safety of the wards. He felt a moment of panic, until he remembered the words of Drillmaster Karen.
Alagai have no guile. They may be stronger and faster than you, but their brains are those of a slow-witted dog. They reveal their intent in their bearing, and the humblest feint will confuse them. Never forget your wits, and you will always see the dawn.
Jardir made as if to run toward the nearest demon pit, then turned sharply and ran instead for the steps. He dodged around the rubble and barricades on sheer memory, wasting no time in confirming with eyes what his head knew. The demon gave chase, but Jardir gave it no more thought, focusing only on his path ahead.
Oot!
But Hasik's alcove was empty. The warrior must have just sprung another trap and was at the ambush point fighting. He managed to put some ground between himself and the clay demon in the makeshift maze, but it was still close behind when the ambush point came into sight. Jardir darted around the last barrier, and a pair of quick hands grabbed him and yanked him off to the side.
You think this is a game, rat?
Jardir had no reply, and thankfully needed none, as the demon came charging into the ambush point. A Dalsharim threw a net over it, tripping it up. Several warriors tackled it and pinned it to the ground. One Dalsharim took a rake of claws to the face and fell away, but another took his place, grabbing two of the demon's overlapping armor plates and pulling them apart with his hands, revealing the vulnerable flesh beneath. Hasik flung Jardir aside, running in and driving his spear into the opening. Jardir's delight was short-lived, though, as Hasik let go the spear, leaving it jutting from the dead Alagai and stormed over to him.
You think yourself a better Nisharam? You could have gotten men killed, taking it upon yourself to drive Alagai into a trap that had not been reset!
I meant no...
I gave you no leave to speak, boy! Your orders were to stay in your alcove, not lead Alagai to the backs of unprepared warriors!
Better he brought it here with some warning than left it loose on the terrace, Hasik!
Hasik glared at him but held his tongue. Jessen was an older warrior, perhaps even 40 winters, and the others in the group deferred to him in the absence of Kaval or the Kaisharam. He was bleeding freely from where the demon had clawed his face.
You would not have been injured.
These will not be my first demon scars, and everyone is a glory to be cherished. Now, get back to your post. There are demons yet to kill this night.
As you say, the night is young.
You, get back to your post too, boy.
Dawn came at last, and all the company gathered at the demon pits to watch the Alagai burn. Bahakadevaram faced east, and the rising sun quickly flooded the valley. Wherever the light touched the demons, they burst into flame. Jardir had never felt so alive as he did in that moment, and he turned to Avan to share his joy. But Avan was nowhere to be seen. Thinking his friend still distressed over his fall the night before, Jardir went looking for him. Avan was injured, that was all. It was not the same as being weak. They could bide their time and ignore the sniggers of the other Nisharam until Avan had regained his strength, and then they would deal with the sniggers directly and end the mocking once and for all. He searched through the camp and almost missed Avan, at last spotting his friend crawling out from under one of the provision carts.
What are you doing?
I was just...
Jardir ignored him, pushing past Avan and looking under the cart. Avan had strung a net there, filling it with the Dravazi pottery they had used as tools, cleverly packed with cloth to keep the pieces from clattering or breaking on the journey back.
My friend...
Put them back.
Aman.
Put them back or I will break your other leg.
Again, I ask you to be practical, my friend. We both know that with this leg, I have more chance of helping my family through profit than honor. And if I somehow still manage to become Dal Sharam, how long will I last? Even the strong veterans who came here to Baha will not all go home alive. For myself, I will be lucky to last through my first night. And what of my family then, if I leave this world with no glory? I don't want my mother to end up selling my sisters as Jiwa Sharam because they have no dowry save my spilled blood.
Jiwa Sharam are sold?
Jiwa Sharam were group wives kept in the great harem for all Dar Sharam to use.
Did you think girls volunteered? Being Jiwa Sharam may appear glorious for the young and beautiful, but they seldom even know whose children grow in their bellies, and their honor fades once their wombs grow barren and their features less fair. Better by far a proper husband, even a kafit, than that.
Jardir said nothing, digesting the information, and Avan moved closer, leaning in as if to speak in confidence, though they were quite alone.
We could split the profits, my friend. Half to my mother and half to yours. When was the last time she or your sisters had meat or more than rags to wear? Honor may help them years from this day, but a quick profit can help them now.
How will a handful of pots make any difference?
These are not just any pots, Aman. Think of it! These last works of Master Dravazi, used by the Dal Sharam to help avenge his death and set free the kafit souls of Baha, they will be priceless. The Damarji themselves would buy and display them. We need not even clean them. The dirt of Baha will be better than any glaze of gold.
Kaval said all must be sacrificed to hallow the ground of Baha.
And so everything has. These are just tools, Aman. No different from the spades the Dar Sharam used to dig the pits. It is not looting to keep our tools.
Then why hide them under the cart like a thief?
Do you think Hasik and his cronies would let us keep the profits if they knew?
I suppose not.
It's settled then.
Quickly, they packed the rest of the pottery in the secret sling. They were almost finished when Avan took a delicate cup and deliberately started rolling it in the dirt.
What are you doing?
Oh, this cup was too small to be of use in the work, but the dust of Baha will increase its value tenfold.
But it's a lie.
The buyer will never know that, my friend.
I will know.
Jardir took the cup and hurled it to the ground.
Ugh. You idiot! Do you have any idea what that was worth?
But at Jardir's seething glare, he wisely put up his hands and took a step back.
Of course, my friend. You are right.
As if to drive the point home, he lifted another similarly clean piece and smashed that on the ground as well.
Send nothing to my family. I want no profit to come to the line of Jardir from this low deed. I would rather see my sisters chew hard grain than eat tainted meat.
As you wish, my friend. But if your mind ever changes...
If that day comes... And you are my true friend, you will refuse me. And if I ever catch you at something like this again, I will bring you before the Dharma myself.
It was nighttime on the Krasian Wall, and all about him Jardir could feel the thrum of battle. It made him proud that he would one day die as a Khaji warrior in the maze. Jardir nodded, turning to the other boys.
Jurim, inform the Maja in Layer 3 that glory is near. Chanjat, let the Anja know the Maja will be moving away from their position.
I can go?
Jardir glanced at him doubtfully. He knew it dishonored his friend to hold him back, But Aban's limp had not subsided in the weeks since they had returned from Baha, and Alagai Sharak was no game.
Stay with me for now.
The other boy smirked and ran off. Drillmaster Karan noticed the exchange, and his lip curled in disgust as he looked at Aban.
Make yourself useful, boy, and untangle the nets.
Jardir pretended not to notice Aban's limp as he complied. He returned to Karan's side.
You can't spare him forever. Better he die a man in the maze than return from the walls in shame.
Jardir wondered at the words. What was the true path? If he sent Aban, there was a risk he would fail in his duty, putting fighting men at risk. But if he did not, then Karan would eventually declare the boy Kafit, a fate far worse than death. Aban's spirit would sit outside the gates of heaven, never knowing Evaram's embrace as he waited, perhaps millennia, for reincarnation. Ever since Karan had made him Ni-Kar, responsibility had weighed upon Jardir heavily. He wondered if Hasik, who had once held the same honor, had felt the same pressure. It was doubtful. Hasik would have killed Aban and driven him out of the pack long since.
Better dead than Kafit.
Where?
A wind demon dove at them. He and Jardir got down in time, but today was not as quick.
It's banking for another pass!
Aban! Net!
Aban was quick to comply, favoring his good leg as he dragged the heavily weighted net to Karan. Karan snatched the net, never taking his eyes from the returning wind demon. Jardir saw his warrior's eye and knew the drillmaster was calculating its speed and trajectory. As the Alagai came in range, Karan uncoiled like a cobra and threw. But the net opened too soon, and Jardir immediately saw why. Aban had accidentally tangled his foot in one of the wake ropes. The wind demon pulled up short of the opening net, buffeting both the net and Karan with its wings. The Alagai dropped from sight, and the drillmaster went down hopelessly tangled in the net.
Knee, take you, boy!
Karan kicked out from the tangle to knock Aban's legs from under him. Aban fell from the wall a second time, this time into a maze alive with Alagai. Before Jardir had time to react, he realized the Alagai was righting itself to come at them again. With Karan tangled, there was no Dal Sharam to stop it.
Flee while you can!
Jardir ignored him. Racing for the nets Aban had folded, he lifted one. The wind demon shot past, banking hard in the sky for another dive. When the demon was close enough that Jardir could see its teeth, he threw. The horsehair net spun as the weights pulled it open, and the wind demon hit the web head-on. Yanking the cord to tighten the net, Jardir pivoted smoothly out of the way and watched the creature plummet into the maze.
Alagai down! Northeast Quadrant! Layer 7!
He was about to turn back and free Karan when movement in the darkness caught his eye. Aban hung from the top of the wall, his fingernails bleeding as they scraped and strained against the stone.
Don't let me fall!
If you fall, you will die a man and heaven await you!
No! Please, you swore! You swore by Evaram's life to catch me! I don't want to die!
Better dead than Kafit!
I don't care if I'm Kafit! Don't let me fall, please!
Jardir bent despite himself, lying flat on the wall and pulled hard on Aban's arm.
Evaram, bless you! I owe my life to you!
Jardir shoved him away.
You disgust me, coward! Be gone from my sight before I change my mind and throw you back!
Aban's eyes widened in shock, but he bowed and scurried away as fast as his lame leg would allow. As Jardir watched him go, a fist connected hard with his kidney.
You should have let him fall. You did him no favors this night. Adal Sharam's duty is to support his brothers in death as well as life. No gruel for 3 days. Now fetch my farseer. Alagai Sharak does not wait for cowards and fools.
333 AR. Aban returned with Jayan and Asom some time later. They dragged with them a number of northern Chin and a single Dama.
This is Dama Rajin of the Mending. It is he who ordered the silos burned.
How many?
3, before he could be stopped. But he would have kept on burning.
Losses?
It will be some time before I know for sure, Sardamaka. But it could be close to 200 tons. Grain enough to feed thousands through the winter months.
And what have you to say?
It is written in the Avijah's treatise on war to burn the enemy's stores so they cannot make further war. There remains grain enough to feed our people many times over.
Fool! I need to levy the northerners, not starve and kill them. The true enemies are the Alagai, something you have forgotten.
Jardir reached out and took hold of the Dama's white robe, tearing it from his body.
You are Dama no more. You will burn your whites and wear tan in shame for the rest of your days.
The man was dragged out of the manse and cast into the snow. He would likely take his own life if the other Dama didn't kill him first. Jardir looked to Aban once more.
I want the losses and remainder totaled.
There may not be enough to feed everyone.
If there isn't grain enough, have the chin too old to work or fight, put to the spear until there is.
I will find a way to make it stretch.
I thought you might. Now, what of these chin you bring before me? I wanted leaders, but these men look like Kafit merchants.
Merchants rule the North, Deliverer.
Disgusting.
Nevertheless, it is so. These are men who can help ease your conquest.
My father needs no...
Jardir silenced Jayan with a wave. He gestured to the guards to bring the chin forward.
Which of you leads the others?
The prisoner's eyes widened and the men looked at one another. Finally, one stepped forward, arching his back and holding his head high as he met Jardir's eyes. He was bald, with a gray-shot beard, and was dressed in a soiled and torn silk robe. His face was blotched where he had been beaten, and his left arm was in a crude sling. He stood almost a foot shorter than Jardir, but still he had the look of a man who was accustomed to his words carrying weight.
I am Eden the Seventh, Duke of Fort Rizon and Lord of its peoples.
Fort Rizon no longer exists. This land is known as Evrim's Bounty now, and it belongs to me.
The core it does.
Do you know who I am, Duke Eddon?
The Duke of Fort Crazer. Aban claims you are the Deliverer.
But you do not believe it is so.
The Deliverer will not bring murder, rape, and pillage with him.
It comes as no surprise that the weak men of the North hold to a weak Deliverer. But it is no matter. I do not ask for your belief, only your allegiance.
The Duke looked at him incredulously.
If you prostrate before me and swear an oath to submit to Evrim in all things, your life and those of your counselors will be spared. Your sons will be taken and trained as Dal Shuram, and they will be honored above all other northern chin. Your wealth and property will be returned to you, minus a tithe of fealty. All this I offer to you in exchange for helping me to dominate the Green Lands.
And if I refuse?
Then all you possessed belongs to me. You will watch as your sons are put to the spear and my men impregnate your wives and daughters. And you will spend the rest of your days in rags, eating shit and drinking piss until someone pities you enough to kill you.
And so, Eden the Seventh, Duke of Fort Rizon and Lord of its peoples, became the first Northern Duke to kneel and put his head to the floor before Aman Jardir. Jardir sat on his throne as Aban again brought a group of chin before him. It was a bitter irony that the fat Kafit should be the most indispensable member of his court, but so few of Jardir's men spoke the northern tongue. Some of the other Kafit merchants spoke a smattering, but only Aban and Jardir's inner council were truly fluent. And of those, only Aban would rather talk to the chin than kill them. Like all the prisoners Aban found, these were starved and beaten, clad in filthy rags against the cold.
More Kafit merchant lords?
No, Deliverer. These men are warders.
Why have they been so ill-treated?
Because in the north, warding is considered a craft, like milling or carpentry. The Dal Shuram who sacked the city could not tell them from the rest of the chin, and many were killed or fled with the tools of their profession.
In Crasia, warders were considered the elite of the warrior caste, and it was written in the Avisia that they be accorded all honor. Even northern ones had value if Sharaka was to be won.
You have my apologies for your treatment. You will be fed and clad in fine robes, your lands and women returned to you. Had we known you were warders, you would have been honored as your station deserves.
You killed my son, raped my wife and daughter, burned my house, and now you apologize?
He spat at Jardir, striking him on the cheek.
I will pay a death price for your son, and recompense you others for your losses as well.
Jardir strode up to the anguished man, towering over him.
But I warn you, do not test my mercy further.
He signaled the guards and the men were escorted out.
It is regrettable that our first conquest in the north should bring such waste.
We could have treated with them, Aman.
The Greenlanders are too numerous. The Rizonian men outnumbered us 8-1.
If they had been given time to muster, not even our superior fighting skills could have taken the city without losses we could ill afford. Now that the Duke has embraced Everam, we should go easier on the hamlet until we move on to conquer the Chin city built on the oasis.
Lactan, but I warn you, this Greenland Lake is by all accounts far bigger than any oasis. Messengers have told me it is a body of water so great that you cannot see the far side, even on a clear day. And the city itself is so far out on the water that even a scorpion could not shoot so far.
They exaggerate, surely. If these fishmen fight anything like the men of Ryzen, they will fall easily enough when the time comes.
Just then a Dal Sharam entered.
Forgive the intrusion, Shardamaka. You asked to be informed when your wives arrived.
Shardir scowled. 3-08 AR. Shardir was whipped with the Alagai tail for letting Aban live. The barbs tearing the flesh off his back, and the days without food were hard, but he embraced the penance as he did all pain. It did not matter. He had netted an Alagai. Other warriors had cut the wings from the wind demon, staking it down in a warded circle to await the sun, but it was Jardir who brought it down, and everyone knew it. He could see it in the awed eyes of the other Nisharam and the grudging respect of the Dal Sharam. Even the Dama eyed him when they thought no one was looking. On the fourth day, Jardir was weak with hunger as he made his way to the Gruul line. He doubted he had the strength to fight even the weakest of the boys, but he strode to his usual place at the front of the line with a straight back. The others backed away, eyes respectfully down. He was reaching out his bowl when Karen caught his arm.
No Gruul for you today. Come with me.
Jardir felt like a sand demon was trying to claw its way from his stomach, but he gave no complaint, handing his bowl to another boy and following the drill master across the camp toward the Kaji pavilion. Jardir's face went cold. It could not be.
No boy your age has entered the warrior's pavilion in 300 years. I think you are too young, and this may prove the end of you and a terrible waste for the Kaji. But the law is the law. When a boy nets his first demon on the wall, he is called to Alagai Sharak.
They entered the tent, and dozens of black-clad figures turned to eye him before returning to their food. Women served them, but not women like Jardir had seen before, covered from head to toe in thick black cloth. The veils of these women were gossamer and brightly colored, diaphanous clothes pulled tight against soft curves. Their arms and bellies were bare save for jeweled adornments, and long slits in the sides of their pantaloons bared their smooth legs.
That will be your right too, should you survive the coming night. The Kaji need more warriors. It is the duty of men to provide them. If you acquit yourself well, you may earn yourself a wife to keep your home. But all Dal Sharam are expected to keep the Jiwa Sharam of their tribe with child.
The sight of so many women in revealing clothes was overwhelming to Jardir, and he scanned their young faces, half expecting to see his sisters among them. He was speechless as the drillmaster led him to a pillow at the great table. There was more food than he had ever seen in his life. Dates and raisins and rice and spiced lamb on skewers, couscous and grape leaves wrapping steaming meats. His stomach churned, caught between hunger and lust.
Eat well and rest. Tonight you will stand among men.
Karen slapped Jardir's back and left the tent. Jardir reached tentatively for a skewer of meat, but a hand quickly snatched it away. He looked to the offender, only to find Hasik staring back at him.
You got lucky the other night, Rat. Pray to Everam this day, for it will take more than luck to survive a night in the maze.
Jardir went with the other warriors to Sharakora to receive the blessing of the Damaji before the night's battle. He had never been inside the Temple of Heroes' Bones before, and the sight dwarfed anything he might have imagined. Everything inside Sharakora was built from the bleached and lacquered bones of Dal Sharam, who had fallen in Alagai Sharak. The 12 chairs of the Damaji on the great altar stood on calf bones and rested on warriors' feet. The arms had once held spear and shield against demon kind. The seats were polished rib that had housed heroes' hearts. The backs were made from spines that had stood tall in the night. The headrests were made from the skulls of men who sat at Everam's side in heaven. The 12 seats ringed the throne of the Andra, built from the skulls of Kai Sharam, the captains of Alagai Sharak. The Sharam stood at attention as the Damaji begged the blessings of Evaram for the coming battle, and those of Kaji, the first deliverer.
Kaji, Spear of Evaram, Shardamaka, who unified the world and delivered us from the Alagai in the First Age, look down upon these brave warriors who go out into the night and carry on the eternal struggle, battling Gai on Allah, even as Evaram battles Ni in heaven. Bless them with courage and strength that they might stand tall in the night and see through to the dawn.
The warded shield and heavy spear were the smallest and lightest Karen could find, but Jardir still felt dwarfed by them. He was 12, and the youngest of the assembled warriors was 5 years his senior. He pretended nothing was amiss as he headed to stand with them, but even the smallest towered over him.
Ni Sharam are tethered to another warrior their first night in the maze to ensure their will does not break when the Alagai first come at them. It is a moment that tests the hearts of even the bravest warriors. The warrior assigned to you will be your Ajin Pal, your blood brother. You will obey his every command and be bonded until death.
Jardir nodded.
If you survive the night, the Damating will come for you at dawn.
The Damating?
One of them will come to predict your death. Only with her blessing will you be Dal Sharam.
They tell you when you'll die. I don't wish to know.
They don't tell you, boy. The future is for the Damating alone to know. But if a coward's death is in your future, or greatness, they will know before you ever lose the Bido.
I will not die a coward's death.
No, I don't think you will. But you may still die a fool's death if you don't listen to your Ajin Pal, or are not careful.
I will listen well.
Hasik has volunteered to be your Ajin Pal.
Hasik had grown much in the 2 years since he had lost his Bido. 17 years old and fleshed out with hard muscle by the rich food of the Dal Sharam, he was easily a foot taller than Jardir and twice his weight.
Never fear. The Son of Peace will be safe with me.
The Son of Peace took down his first Alagai a full 3 years sooner than you.
He will honor the Kaji tribe. If he survives...
Their unit wait in the second layer, hiding in an ambush pocket. A hidden pit stood at the center of a small clearing, soon to be filled with Alagai awaiting the killing rays of the sun. Jardir tightened his grip on his spear and adjusted his shield to ease his shoulder. But for all their weight, the tether was heaviest of all. 4 feet of leather connected his ankle to Hasik's waist.
If you do not keep up with me, I will spear you and cut the tether. I will not have my glory cut short because of you.
I will be as your shadow.
Hasik slipped a small flask from his robes and removed the stopper, taking a long swig. He handed the flask to Jardir.
Drink this. For courage.
What is it?
Kuzi. Fermented grain and cinnamon.
Dama Kevat says to drink of fermented grain or fruit is forbidden by the Avija.
Nothing is forbidden to the Dal Sharam in the maze. Drink! The night is almost upon us.
Jardir looked at him doubtfully, but throughout the ambush pocket, he saw other warriors swigging from similar flasks. He shrugged, putting the bottle to his lips and drinking deeply.
Now you are ready to face the Alagai, rat.
Before long, he heard the horn of Sharak.
Where? Baiters approach! 4 sand and 1 flame!
Jardir swallowed hard. The baiters ran full tilt through the ambush point, veering only slightly to avoid the pits. Above, the watchers lit oil fires in front of polished metal mirrors. The light flooded the area. The sand demons ran in a pack, long tongues slavering over rows of razor-sharp teeth.
Hold!
The Alagai passed them by, intent on the baiters. 2 of them ran right out onto the top, covering the demon pit. The other sand demons pulled up short.
Now!
The Kai Sharam charged from the ambush pocket. They smashed into the 2 sand demons from behind, knocking them into the pit.
Shield up!
Jardir complied just in time to catch the full weight of a demon. He was knocked down, but not before the wards flared, throwing the Alagai back. The demon landed in a coil and sprang at him again, but Jardir thrust his spear from his prone position, catching the demon between its breastplates. He braced the butt of the spear against the ground to create a fulcrum and used the demon's own momentum to hurl it away. The pit warder had cleared the tarp from the wards, preventing the other Alagai from escaping the pit. The other warriors began to force the demons toward it by advancing the shield wall. Eventually, the creature backed up to the pit's edge, and the warriors there melted away.
Everam's light burn you!
The demon backpedaled and then fell into the pit. It was the greatest moment of his life. Jardir looked around the ambush point. Moshkama, a warrior with a severed leg, lay in a pool of blood. He caught Jardir's eye and beckoned him and Hasik, who went to him.
Finish it. I have no wish to live as a cripple.
Do it. It is not right to let him suffer.
My spirit is ready.
The horn signaled that there were no Alagai left alive and untrapped in the maze.
You did well, Rat. I expected you to soak your Bido, but you stood like a man.
Hasik took another pull from the Kuzi flask and handed it to Jardir.
Thank you.
Hasik still intimidated him, but it was true what the drillmaster said. Shedding blood together in the maze had changed things. They were brothers now.
My blood is always on fire after Alagai Sharak. Need damn the Damaji who decreed the Great Harem be sealed till dawn.
Jardir thought of the warrior carrying a Jiwa Sharam through the curtains that morning, and his face flushed.
That excites you, Rat? The son of peace is eager to take his first woman?
Jardir said nothing.
Bido or no, I think this one will still be a boy tomorrow. He's too young to know what the pillow dances are for.
Leave the rat alone. He's my Ajin pal. You mock him, you mock me.
Menik puffed up at the challenge, but Hasik was young and strong. They eyed each other for a moment.
Bah! It's not worth the trouble of gutting you just to mock a boy.
Thank you.
It's nothing. It is the duty of an Ajin pal to look out for each other. And you would not be the first boy to fear the pillow dancers more than the Alagai. The Damating teach sex craft to the Jiwa Sharon. But the drill masters give no such lessons in the Sharaji.
Jardir felt his face flush, wondering what lay in store for him in the pillows behind the curtains when the veils were lifted.
Do not fear. I will teach you how to make a woman howl.
They finished off the flask, and a wicked smile crossed Hasik's face.
Come on, Rat. I know of some fun we can find in the meantime.
Where are we going?
Hasik led him through the maze. The Kuzi made his head spin and his limbs watery. The walls seemed to move of their own accord. Hasik turned, his smile wide.
Going? We're here!
Before he could react, Hasik was upon him, pinning him face down into the dust.
I promised to teach you to make a woman howl. For this lesson, you will be the woman.
No!
Twisting one of Jardir's arms behind his back, the heavy warrior held him down with one hand as he pulled down Jardir's Bido with the other.
Looks like you get to lose the Bido twice in one night, Rat.
Jardir tasted blood and dirt in his mouth. He tried to open himself to the pain, but for once, the power was beyond him. He was still weeping when the Damating found him. She glided like a ghost, her white robe softly stirring the dust with her passage. Jardir stopped his sobbing and stared. Then, reality suddenly focused, and he scrambled to pull up his Bido. Shame filled him, and he hid his face.
On your feet, boy. You stand your ground against Alagai, but weep like a woman over this? Everam needs Dal Sharam, not Kafit.
He got to his feet, palming away his tears and wiping his nose.
That's better, if late. I would hate to have to come all the way out here to foretell the life of a coward.
How did you find me?
I knew to find you here years ago.
Jardir stared at her, unbelieving, but it was clear from her stance that his belief mattered not at all to her.
Come here, boy, that I may have a better look at you.
Jardir did as he was told, and the Damating grabbed his face, turning it this way and that to catch the moonlight.
Young and strong. But so are all who get this far. You're younger than most, but that's seldom a good thing.
Are you here to foretell my death?
Bold, too. There may be hope for you yet. Kneel, boy.
He did, and the Damating knelt with him, spreading a white cloth to protect her pristine robes from the dust of the maze.
What do I care for your death? I am here to foretell your life. Death is between you and Evaram.
She reached into her robes, pulling forth a small pouch made from thick black felt. She loosened the drawstrings, pouring its contents into her free hand. Jardir saw over a dozen objects, black and smooth like obsidian, carved with wards that glowed redly in the dark.
The Alagai Hora.
Jardir recoiled at the name. She held the polished bones of demons cut into many-sided dice. Even without touching them, Jardir could feel the dull throb of their evil magic.
Back to cowardice. What is the purpose of wards if not to turn Alagai magic to our own ends?
Jardir steeled himself, leaning back in.
Hold out your arm.
She reached into her robes, drawing forth a sharp, curved blade etched with wards. Jardir held out his arm, willing it not to shake. The cut was quick, and the Damating squeezed the wound, smearing her hand with blood. She took up the Alagai Hora in both hands, shaking them.
Evaram, giver of light and life, I beseech you, give this lowly servant knowledge of what is to come. Tell me of a man, son of Hoshkamin, last scion of the line of Jardir, the seventh son of Khaji.
As she shook the dice, their glow increased, flaring through her fingers until it seemed she held hot coals. She cast them down, scattering the bones on the ground before them. She put her hands on her knees and hunched forward, studying the glowing markings. Her eyes widened. Suddenly, oblivious to the dirt that marred her pure white robes, the Damating crawled about intently, reading the pattern as the pulsing glow of the ward slowly faded.
These bones must have been exposed to light.
She gathered them up, shaking vigorously, and again the dice flared. She threw them down.
This cannot be.
She snatched up the dice and threw a third time. Even Jardir could tell that the pattern remained unchanged.
What is it? What do you see?
The future is not yours to know, boy.
What had the dice told her? His mind flashed back to the pottery he had allowed Aban to steal from Baha Kadavaram, and wondered if she could see that sin as well. The Damating collected the bones and returned them to the pouch before rising. She touched the pouch away and shook the dust from her robes.
Return to the Khaji Pavilion and spend the remainder of the night in prayer.
Karen kicked him awake while the warriors still slept all around him.
Up, rat! The Dama has called for you.
Am I to lose my Bido?
The men say you fought well in the night, but that's not for me to decide. Only Dama may give Anisharam his blacks.
The drillmaster escorted him to the inner chambers of Sharakora. The cool stone floor felt hallowed under Jardir's bare feet.
Drillmaster, may I ask a question?
This may be the last you ask of me as your instructor, so make it good.
When the Damating came for you, how many times did she throw the dice?
Once. They only ever throw once. The dice never lie.
Jardir wanted to say more, but they turned a corner and Dama Kavat was waiting for him. Kavat was the harshest of Jardir's instructors, the one who had called him the son of camel's piss and thrown him into the waste pits for his insolence.
Mind your tongue if you would keep it, boy.
Evaram be with you.
The drillmaster bowed, and Jardir did the same. A nod from the Dama, and Karen turned on his heel and vanished. Kavat ushered Jardir into a small, windowless room filled with sheaves of paper and smelling of ink and lamp oil. It seemed a place more suited to a kafit or a woman, but even here the bones of men filled the room. They formed the seat Jardir was directed to, and the desk Kavat sat behind. Even the sheaves of paper were held down by skulls.
You continue to surprise me, son of Hoshkamin. I did not believe you when you said you would win glory enough for you and your father both. But you seemed determined to prove me wrong.
I have only done as any warrior would do.
The warriors I have known are not so modest. A kill, wholly on your own, and 5 assists at what? 13?
12.
And you helped Moshkama die last night. Few Nisharam would have the heart for that.
It was his time.
Indeed. Moshkama had no sons. As his brother in death, it will fall to you to bleach his bones for Sharikora.
I am honored.
Your Dama Ting came to see me last night.
I am to lose my Bido.
You are too young, she says. Returning you to Alagai Sharak without further training and time to grow would only cost the Kaji a warrior.
I am not afraid to die, if that is Enevera.
Spoken like a true Sharam. But it is not that simple. You are denied the maze by her decree until you are older.
So I must return to the Kaji Sharaj in shame after standing among men.
The law is clear on that. No boy who sees the Sharum Pavilion is permitted to return to the Sharaj.
But if I cannot go there, and I cannot stand with the men, I will become Kafit.
No. Perhaps such things do not matter to the Dama Ting, since even the lowliest Kafit is above a woman. But I will see no warrior fall so low when his every challenge has been met. Since the time of Shar Damaka, no boy who has shed Alagai blood in the maze has been refused the black. The Dama Ting dishonors us all with her decree. And handmaiden of Evram or not, she is only a woman and cannot understand what that would do to the hearts of all Sharam.
Then what will become of me?
You will be taken into Sharikara. I have already spoken to Damaji Amareveram. With his blessing, not even the Dama Ting can deny you that.
I am to become a cleric?
No, boy. Your destiny is still the maze. But you will train here with us until you are ready. Study hard. And you may make Kaisharam, while other boys your age still wear bidos. This will be your cell.
Kavat led Jardir to a chamber deep in the bowels of Sharikora. The room was a 10x10 square cut into the sandstone with a hard cot in one corner. There was a heavy wooden door, but it had no latch or bar. The only light came from a lamp in the corridor. Compared to the communal space and stone floor of the Kaji Sharaj, even this would have seemed luxury, if not for the shame that brought him here and the pleasures of the Kaji Pavilion that he was denied.
You will fast here and excise the demons from your mind. Your training begins on the morrow.
Jardir fell upon the cot, crossing his arms in front of him to support his head. But lying on his stomach made him think of Hasik, and rage and shame flared in him until it became unbearable. He leapt to his feet, grasped the cot, and smashed it against the wall. Suddenly, realizing what he had done, Jardir straightened, but there was no response to his commotion. He swept the wreckage into a corner and began a Sharakin. The practice series of Sharasak movements centered him as no prayer ever could. The events of the last week swirled around him. Aban was Kafit now. Jardir felt shame at that, but he embraced the feeling and saw the truth beneath. Aban had been Kafit all along, and Hanupash had shown it. Jardir had delayed Evram's will, but he had not stopped it. No man could.
Inevera!
He thought of the glory and elation at killing demons in the maze, and accepted that it might be many years before he could feel such joy again. The dice had spoken.
Inevera!
He thought again of Hasik, but it was not Inevera. There he had failed. He had been a fool to drink Kuzi in the maze, a fool to trust Hasik, a fool to lower his guard. The pain of his body and the passing of blood he had already embraced, even the humiliation. He had seen other boys in Sharaj mounted and could embrace the feeling. What he could not embrace was the fact that even now Hasik strutted among the Dal Sharam, thinking he had won, that Jardir was broken.
Perhaps I am broken, but broken bones heal stronger, and I will have my day in the sun.
Night came, signaled only by the extinguishing of the lamp in the hall, leaving his cell in utter blackness. Jardir didn't mind the dark. No wards in the world could match those of Sharikora, and even without them, the spirits of warriors without number guarded the temple. Any Alagai setting foot in this hallowed place would be burned away as if it had seen the sun. Jardir could not have slept even if he had wanted to, so he continued his Sharakin, repeating the movements over and over until they were a part of him, as natural as breathing. When the door of his cell creaked open, Jardir was instantly aware. Recalling his first night in the Kaji Sharaj, he slipped silently to the side of the door in the darkness and assumed a fighting stance.
If I wished you harm, I would not have sent you here for training.
A red light sprang to life, illuminating the Dama Ting he had met the night before. She held a small flame demon skull carved with wards that glowed fiercely in the darkness. The light found her already staring right into his eyes, as if she had known where he stood all along.
You didn't send me here. You told Dama Kevat to send me back to the Kaji Sharaj in shame.
As I knew he would never do. Nor would he have made you Kafit. The only path left to him was to send you here.
Without honor.
In safety. Do not presume to judge me, Nisharum. I will act as I think best, and you will do as you are bidden. Learn everything you can in your time here. Sharaka is coming.
The word struck Jardir like a physical blow. Sharaka. The final battle was coming, and he would fight in it. All his worldly concerns vanished in that instant as she closed the door and left him in darkness once more. The lamp in the hall flickered back to life after some time, and there was a light tap at the door. Jardir opened it to Kavat's youngest son, Ashan. He was a slender boy, clad in a bido that extended upward to wrap over one shoulder, marking him as Nidama, a cleric in training. He wore a white veil over his mouth, and Jardir knew that meant he was in his first year of training, when Nidama were not allowed to speak. The boy nodded in greeting, then took in the wreckage of the cot in the corner. He winked and gave a slight bow as if Jardir had somehow passed a secret test. And Ashan jerked his head down the hall, then headed that way himself. Jardir took his meaning and followed. They came to a wide chamber with a floor of polished marble. Dozens of Dama and Nidama, perhaps everyone in the tribe, stood there, feet planted, practicing the Sharokin. The boy waved a hand for Jardir to follow, and the two took their places in the knee lines, joining in the slow dance, bodies flowing from pose to pose, the entire room breathing in unison. There were many forms Jardir was unfamiliar with, and the experience was quite unlike the brutal lessons to which he was accustomed, where Karen and Kaval shouted curses at the boys, whipping any whose form was not perfect, and demanding that they flow faster and faster still. The Dama practiced in silence, their only instruction watching the lead Dama and one another. Jardir thought the clerics pampered and weak. After an hour, the session ended. Immediately, a buzz of conversation started as the Dama broke into clusters and left the room. Jardir's companion signaled him to remain, and they clustered with the other Nidama.
You have a new brother.
Dama Kavat gestured to Jardir.
With only 12 years and at his bido, Jardir, son of Hoshkamin, has Alagai blood on his hands. He will stay and learn the ways of the Dama until the Dama Ting deem him old enough to don his blacks.
The other boys nodded silently, bowing to Jardir.
Ashan, Jardir will need help with his Sharusak. You will teach him.
Ashan nodded. A Nidama? Teach him? Ashan was no older than he was, and Jardir waited ahead of boys years his senior in the Nisharam Gruel line.
You feel you need no instruction?
No, of course not, honored Dama.
But you feel Ashan is not worthy to instruct you. After all, he is only Nidama, a novice, not yet old enough to speak. And you, well, you have stood with men in Alagai Sharak.
Jardir shrugged helplessly, feeling that very thing, but fearing a trap.
Very well. You will spar with Ashan. When you defeat him, I will assign you a more worthy instructor.
The other novices backed away, forming a ring on the polished marble floor. Ashan stood in its center and bowed to Jardir. Jardir cast one glance at Dama Kavat, then bowed in return.
Apologies, Ashan, but I must defeat you.
Ashan said nothing, assuming a Sharasak battle stance. Jardir did likewise.
Begin.
Jardir shot forward, his stiffened fingers going for Ashan's throat. Ashan surprised him, pivoting smoothly from Jardir's path and delivering a kick to his side. Jardir rolled quickly to his feet. He came in again, his defenses set, and feinted a punch to Ashan's jaw. When the boy moved to block, Jardir spun, feinting an elbow to jab to his opposite kidney. Again, Ashan shifted, positioning himself correctly, and Jardir spun back again, delivering the real blow, a leg sweep. But the leg Jardir meant to sweep was not where it was supposed to be, and his kick meant only air. Ashan caught his leg, using Jardir's own strength against him as he followed through with the exact move Jardir had planned. Jardir's flailing left leg was caught, as was his right arm, and Ashan pulled hard, threatening to twist the limbs from their sockets. Jardir's eyes blurred in pain. He embraced the feeling, and when his vision cleared, he caught a glimpse of Adama Ting, watching him from the shadowed arch to the hall. She shook her veiled head and walked away. Deep in the bowels of Sharakora, Jardir could not tell night from day. He slept when the Dama told him to sleep, ate when they gave him food, and followed their commands in between. There were a handful of Dalsharim in the temple as well, training to be Kaisharim, but no Nisharim save him. He was the least of the least, and when he thought of how those who had once leapt to his commands, Shanjat and Jarim and the others, might be losing their Betos even now, the shame threatened to overwhelm him. For the first year, he was Ashan's shadow. Without uttering a sound, the Nidama taught Jardir what he needed to survive among the clerics. When to pray, when to kneel, how to bow, and how to fight. Jardir had severely underestimated the fighting skills of the Dama. They might be denied the spear, but the least of them was a match for any two Dalsharim in the art of the empty hand. But combat was something Jardir understood. He threw himself into the training, losing his shame in the endlessly flowing forms. Even after the lamps were extinguished each night, Jardir practiced the Sharukin for hours in the darkness of his tiny cell. After the tanners had taken Moshkama's skin, Jardir and Ashan took the body and boiled it in oil, fishing out the bones and bleaching them in the sun atop the bone minarets that climbed into the desert sky. The Jiwar Sharam had filled 3-tier bottles over his body, and these were mixed with the lacquer they used to paint the bones before laying them out for the artisans. Moshkama's bones and the tears of his mourners would add to the glory of Sharakora, and Jardir dreamed of the day he, too, would become one.